You may be seated. Good morning. Trinity Hoyleton, welcome back. Yes, we are so excited. Yes. We have been waiting for this day for a long time to be able to go back to the way things were before the pandemic hit. And so we are so glad that you're here to celebrate this Welcome Back Sunday with us. And we're going to try together to remember how things used to be today. So I'm anticipating that there might be a few things that take place in the service that, you know, if it's not completely smooth, that's okay. We're all getting back used to things. So first, this is a hymnal, and we're going to use it for our liturgy today. So the service that we're going to follow today is Divine Service Setting 3. In your hymnal, that's on page 184. So if you want to place your bulletin there or one of your hymnal markers there, we are going to follow the service as printed in the hymnal. So I will try my best along the way to remind you when we're in the hymnal and when we have to go back to the bulletin. We used to have this down really well, but it's okay if it takes a little bit of extra effort today. We're just glad that we can be together, and I hope that you're all hungry because we got a great potluck prepared by the stewardship board after church today. So we will begin our service on this second Sunday after Pentecost. I'm going to invite the congregation to stand as we begin with the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our service will now continue with the introit. The introit is located on the inside cover of your bulletin. We speak the words of the introit responsively, so I will read each verse to the star, and the congregation will respond with the second half of the verse. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. The Lord is the strength of his people.
He is the
saving
refuge of Israel.
Oh, save your people and bless your heritage.
Be their shepherd and
carry them forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be the Lord. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. The collect is printed right underneath the introit on the inside cover of the bulletin. We pray together. Almighty and eternal God, your Son Jesus triumphed over the prince of demons and freed us from bondage to sin. Help us to stand firm against every assault of Satan, and enable us always to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The scripture readings are printed on the back cover of the bulletin. Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. They, as in Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We turn back to the inside cover of the bulletin as we speak the words of the gradual responsively by half verse. "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. On your wondrous works I will meditate. The epistle reading today is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapters 4 and 5, beginning with chapter 4, verse 13. "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, 'I believed, and so I spoke,' we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' And his mother and his brothers came. And standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him. And they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. And this morning we will use the words of the Nicene Creed. The creed can be found printed on page 191 or on the back flap of the hymnal. We confess together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, it brings me great pleasure to invite our younger Christians, our children, forward for the first children's message we have had here in the sanctuary in quite a long time. So at this time, would all the children please come forward for the children's message?
Wow, look at the flock of cows. You mean herd. Herd of what? Herd of cows. Sure, I've heard of cows. I'm looking at them, aren't I?
No, a cow herd.
What do I care what a cow herd?
Grapes come in bunches, fish come in schools, sheep come in flocks, and cows come in herds. Besides, they're not cows, they're people.
Heard of people? Sure, I've heard of people.
Brenda, would you cut it out?
Okay, Martha, I know what you mean. They're a herd of people.
No, you were right when you called them a flock. That's another name for God's people.
Is God fond of birds?
No, Brenda, God calls his people a flock, as in sheep.
Sheep? Why, they're one of the dumbest animals on earth. Without a shepherd, they easily get in trouble or get lost and attacked by wolves or coyotes.
Exactly, and that's just like people. The Bible says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way.
Does that mean we're lost?
Yes, on our own we are. Because of our sin, we are lost from God's kind of life. And we would be lost from God forever, but God rescued us.
Then we've been found.
Yep, God's Son, Jesus, came to earth as our good shepherd. He laid down his life for us, his sheep. He died to pay for our sins and bring us back to life, to God's kind of life.
Hey, that reminds me of a song. I once was lost, but now am found. And now we get to stay with Jesus forever, right?
Yes, Brenda. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, for they follow me, and I give them everlasting life. They will never be lost, and no one will ever tear them out of my hand." You see, Brenda, Jesus leads his people all through his life and all the way to heaven, and they follow him.
Sitting down?
Yes, even here they are following Jesus. Worshiping God and learning more about what he teaches are very important for following Jesus. It prepares them to follow his directions more closely all the time.
In the good times and bad times, huh?
Yep, all the time. They know Jesus loves them and knows what's best for each of his sheep.
What about these two? Are they following Jesus?
Shh, you're not supposed to look back there. But yes, they follow Jesus.
How do they follow?
They're ongoing ambassadors for Christ. They meet each month to study and share God's message of love in word and song. It's a lot of fun. They'll be learning more about Jesus throughout their lives as they sing, study, and witness to others. Oh, and Brenda, you better watch what you say about those two behind the curtain. If you make one of them mad, you'll lose your voice.
Those little goofballs, how could they possibly do anything like that?
I warned him. Well, remember, Jesus is our Savior and our good, loving shepherd. We are his flock. Let's follow Jesus.
Thanks, guys. That was great. Let's give thanks to God for our friends at Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. Okay, you can all go back and sit with your moms and dads. And we will now sing our sermon hymn number 748, "I'm But a Stranger Here." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from Mark chapter 3, and this begins a whole summer worth of readings where we are going to be following Jesus' ministry through the Gospel of Mark. So we're going to start here in chapter 3, where Jesus is being confronted both by his family, his actual blood relatives, but also some of the religious leaders, so Pharisees and scribes, people like that. Both of those groups don't believe that Jesus really is who he claims to be, who he seems to be to this big giant crowd that has assembled there. And in the particular case of Jesus' family, they just want to go back to the way things used to be. They want Jesus to come back home. But Jesus makes it abundantly clear to them and to all of us that our true home is wherever Christ is. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know how many of you have been counting the days and really paying close attention to how long it's been since we've been able to have a church service like the one we are having right now, but I was curious about it, so I decided to type it into Google. What I found out is it has been exactly 448 days since everything shut down. So Sunday, March 15th, 2020, was the last time that we were able to gather without any sorts of restrictions before everything had to shut down last year. 448 days ago. And if memory serves me right, even on that day, we were already feeling it starting to close in all around us. Even on that day, we were starting to voluntarily do things like avoid handshakes and hugs, and we were all going out and getting our hand sanitizer, and that was back when the world was obsessed with toilet paper, if you remember that, right? It was, and in some ways it continues to be, a really crazy time to be alive. 448 days ago was also technically our first live stream service, because we knew on that day that there were going to be a number of people who weren't comfortable going out in the crowd. And so back then, it was literally just a cell phone up in the balcony, but we did have a live stream that morning. 448 days ago was also the last time that we had the ushers come forward to receive the offering during the service. And I was curious about the offering music that was played that day, so I had the bulletin on my computer and I looked it up, and it turns out that the hand chimes played that morning. They played "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." So if you remember all those days ago how things used to be, we used to have special music almost every Sunday. The hand chimes used to play every third Sunday of the month. It is amazing to me how in just 448 days, that can seem like distant history, a distant memory, right? For all the jokes that we make about how Lutherans don't like to change anything, it's really mind-blowing how quickly we were all able to adapt to the change when it was forced upon us, right? It's amazing how quickly we forget how to do things that once upon a time were absolutely routine. I stand before you today knowing that some of you probably feel a little bit anxious about what's going to happen later on in our service, right? We're going to have communion at the communion rail for the first time in a long time. We've had these brand new communion kneeling pads here for almost a year, and no one's ever knelt on them. I mean, a couple people have, but we haven't used them for communion yet, right? So you're going to feel what these pads feel like for the first time. Trying to remember, how do I receive the wine from the common cup, if that's your practice, right? Trying to remember when to stand, when to kneel. If you're feeling a little bit anxious about that today, I just want to let you know, you're not alone, right? I mean, lots of us, including our ushers and our elders and your pastor, we're all in retraining mode today. But all of that aside, it is so good to be back. It is so good to be together. It's so good to be home, because home is where Christ is. So our hope and our prayer is that we're going to be able to pick things right back up where we left them off 448 days ago, like old friends getting back together after a long time of not seeing each other. And we had a little bit of taste of that right before the church service. We had our confirmation reunion, so we had a little bit of that already today. But, you know, if everything doesn't go very smoothly right away, that's okay too. Because part of what going back to normal means is that we might experience a little bit of what I would call reverse culture shock. So reverse culture shock is the term that you normally would use for somebody who leaves their home for a long time. Let's say somebody goes to study abroad, or they're in the military, or maybe they're serving as a missionary in a foreign country, and they're gone for a long time. And then when it's time to come back home, it can often be very difficult to reacclimate to the way things used to be back home, the way your life used to be. When I was down in Texas, I used to serve alongside a senior pastor who had once upon a time been a missionary in Guatemala for 10 years. Basically, throughout the entire 1990s, he and his wife were down there. And it's kind of interesting because Katie and I were 90s kids. Like, we grew up in the 90s. And they would often talk about how difficult it was sometimes after 10 years away to come back home to America. And there were often times when we would make these references to pop culture, stuff that we grew up with in the 90s, that they had really no experience of. Right? So can you imagine how much different your life would have been if you never lived through the Tickle Me Elmo craze, right? Or if you had never danced the Macarena, right? I mean, well, maybe your life wouldn't be that much different than it is now. That's okay. But, you know, that's what I mean by reverse culture shock, coming back to the way things were. So we might be going through a little bit of that together as a congregation today. But what I want to say, what I want you to hear for sure, is that these last 448 days have not been completely lost, right? I know sometimes it feels like that. It feels like this whole last year just went by in the blink of an eye and we just kind of skipped over 2020 and the first part of 2021, right? That these last 15 months just kind of disappeared into the ether. But remember, God has been present in this ministry here at Trinity Hoyleton the entire time. He has done some amazing things over the course of these last 448 days. And we have a whole lot to be thankful for, that's for sure. So in the context of what we're all gathered here to celebrate today on this Welcome Back Sunday, I do find it very interesting to see the way that the gospel reading begins here in Mark chapter 3. The first four words of our text, then Jesus went home. Isn't that interesting? Then Jesus went home. Now, that sounds really simple, but actually we need to unpack that a little bit because we have to get into the mindset and understand what would have been considered home for Jesus in Mark chapter 3. Jesus was not in Bethlehem, where he was born, and he wasn't even in Nazareth, where he was raised by Mary and Joseph. Actually, home for Jesus here in Mark 3 was a house that really belonged to Simon Peter in the town called Capernaum. And Capernaum was a city located right on the Sea of Galilee. I know it doesn't specifically say that there in verse 20, but we know this from other passages, that when Jesus was conducting his Galilean ministry, that was his home base. That was what he considered home at that time, Peter's house in Capernaum. The reason why that's an important detail is because if we understand that Jesus is not in Nazareth, that he's actually in Capernaum, that's what makes the rest of this passage make a whole lot more sense. Because Jesus' family shows up in the very next verse, in verse 21, they show up to get him out of there, to get him away from where he was, and to basically, you know, drag him by the ear back to what they considered to be home for him. Bring him back to where they thought he belonged, which was with them in Nazareth. You actually get a little bit more insight into the way that these folks believed and thought when you skip ahead a few chapters and you get to Mark chapter 6, and Jesus actually voluntarily goes back to Nazareth, his hometown, And he goes into the synagogue there, he starts preaching and teaching there, and he starts offending everybody because they don't see that he is who he claims to be. They can't really see that he's anything other than this carpenter that they all grew up with. And so it's especially an issue for Jesus' family, his blood relatives. And this might be a little bit of speculation on my part, but Jesus' relatives are clearly feeling embarrassed about what's going on. Jesus is being followed around all around the Sea of Galilee by this huge, giant crowd of people. And he's gaining a lot of attention. And not only that, but he's also attracting negative attention from the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the ones that he has a little bit of a showdown with right here in this passage. And so Jesus' family is thinking, he's going to not only embarrass us, but it might reflect negatively back on us that he's angering some of these really powerful people. You got to remember, 30 years had gone by. We're not just talking about 448 days, and we're not just talking about one lost decade. 30 years had gone by since the days of all of the miraculous events that took place when Jesus was born, right? And so there were a lot of people who would have forgotten, and certainly at that time were not believing, the very things that God had promised to Mary all of those years ago. That Jesus would be the Son of the Most High, and he would sit on the throne of his father David, and that that kingdom would last forever and ever. But now that Jesus has grown up, and it's 30 years later, and he does teach and preach with this kingly authority, and he's healing people, and he's got this big crowd of followers, now they're starting to feel a little bit of what I would call that reverse culture shock. They're really struggling with going back to those old ways of thinking. And we know, of course, some of Jesus' family did believe in him. We know his mother Mary believed in him for sure. We know that his brothers James and Jude, who wrote the letters of James and Jude in the New Testament, we know that they believed. But there were some blood relatives of Jesus who never believed. And for us, for people like you and me, all these years later, we look back on this and we're able to look with kind of like a wide-angle lens. You know, we can take the whole story in because we know what happens beyond Mark chapter 3. We know all of the ways that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. We know about Jesus' crucifixion. We certainly know about Jesus' resurrection. And so for us, it's not as difficult for us to believe that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. We didn't grow up with Jesus in Nazareth. But one of the ways that we might struggle is when it comes to our own expectations of how that ministry of Jesus should be accomplished and carried out today. And I'm going to even get more specific than that, because I don't just mean today in the sense of it's the year 2021, it's all these years later, but I mean like specifically today, when we consider ministry in the era of COVID-19, and by the grace of God, the era of post-COVID-19, what is this all supposed to look like? So we're here for Welcome Back Sunday. We are excited to be home. But home looks a lot different than it did 448 days ago. We can bring all of our worship procedures back. We can go back to the way things were on March 15th, 2020, but we all have to acknowledge after this last year that there are certain things that are never going to be the same ever again. You could look at that in a negative way if you want to, but let me suggest there's positive ways to look at it too. One of the greatest ways that we are reminded of that is the fact that I know right now, without a doubt, that as we are talking about and celebrating being together in person, that at the same time, right now, there are people watching us virtually away from Hoyleton. There are people who have now become part of our virtual congregation. People who in some cases live very far away from here, some people who actually have never been to Hoyleton a day in their life, And yet right now, because of this, they consider Trinity Hoyleton to be their spiritual home. And you know what we say to that? We say, welcome home, right? We say, welcome home, because we know that no matter where a person is physically located, home is where Christ is. And Christ is where his word is. And by the grace of God, that word now is able to go out from this little village, from good old Hoyleton, right? It goes out from this little Southern Illinois congregation. It's a small town church with a global impact, as we are reminded every single time we see that picture of the Hofbräufest float at the beginning of the live stream, every single time. So home, yes, is where Christ is. And Christ is everywhere where his people are gathered, in person or virtually, gathered in his name, gathered around his word. Christ is here in the sanctuary. Christ is here in the divine service. Christ is here in the word that has always been proclaimed from this pulpit. Christ is over there in the baptismal font, in the promises of holy baptism. Christ is right there at the rail where we're all going to get to come back for the first time in 448 days. He's right here. Christ is here for you. It doesn't matter how our ministry continues to change over time. It doesn't matter what kinds of things get thrown our way. We simply cling to Christ. We make our home in him. And on top of that, we just sang this in the sermon hymn, that ultimately we take comfort in the fact that our true home is in heaven. Our true home is with him. And so we will one day be there in a place where we will never, ever experience any more culture shock of any kind, because all of the sin that causes us to lose so much will be completely taken away and everything will be fully restored. On the day that we get to go to our true home in heaven, we will simply fall asleep in death whenever Christ calls us home. And then we will awaken in his arms, where he sits on his heavenly throne, and he extends his arms out to all of his children, and he says, "Welcome home." To God alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Something else we haven't done for a little while. After the sermon in Divine Service 3, we have an offertory. So if you would please turn to page 192, we will now sing, "Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God." Please stand. You may be seated. At this time, I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. And I also wanted to make sure that you noticed that the attendance record books are also still in the pews now. We also have the communion registry cards and the blue cards that from the stewardship committee. All of those are back in the pews along with pencils. So among the things that have come back to normal, I just wanted to make sure you knew all that. So at this time, the ushers can come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. In our prayers today, there are a few updates for you. Listed under care facilities, we have included Jim Witte. That's the husband of Eunice Witte. That's the brother-in-law to the Krieger family. Jim was recently placed in hospice care at Washington County Hospital. And so we will lift him in prayer. Also, we have listed there, recovering from surgery, Chad Baker. Chad was hospitalized last week. He had appendicitis really bad. They were able to take care of that with surgery, and so now we'll be praying for his recovery. We also have today, we're lifting before the Lord the family of William Bill Evans. That is the father of Lisa Rommelman. Bill passed away on Wednesday, and his funeral services were held yesterday. Finally, we are giving thanks to God today for the marriage of TJ and Haley Phoenix, who were married here yesterday afternoon. Let's stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Merciful God, you have sent the promised offspring to crush Satan's head forever by the death of Christ our Savior. As you gave comfort to Adam and Eve, receiving their confessions for the sake of your grace and promising deliverance from sin and its curse, so comfort us by the forgiveness of sins and give us hope in the promise of eternal life and your new creation. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage to your church, O Lord, that as we believe, so we also would speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the confident hope we have in him, that we too will be raised and brought into his presence. Embolden us by your Spirit to confess this Christian faith from a lively conscience, that for Christ's sake, grace may extend to more and more people and increase thanksgiving to your glory. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Hans Trinklein, serving you in South Korea, and also our sister Lutheran congregation, Bethlehem Lutheran in Farron, and their pastor Jonathan Jennings. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, your Son was rejected on earth even by his friends and relatives. Give consolation to all Christians who feel the sword of division brought about by the confession of Christ's truth, especially those who cannot find agreement within their own families on the Word of God, from which life itself comes. Assure them that their stand for your truth is necessary. Guard them from seeking a false or easier peace, and turn us in every earthly disappointment toward the promise of your eternal and undivided church triumphant. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, no kingdom divided against itself can stand, and a house divided must fall. Graciously preserve our nation with its government. Frustrate the work of Satan and the seeds of destruction he would sow in every place were he not stayed by your gracious hand. Unite our leaders and our people for the common good, while leading us to hope in the eternal kingdom that is not of this world. Bless those who serve in the armed forces of this nation, including especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, look with favor upon those who are celebrating your good gifts that you mercifully grant to us here on earth. We rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Keegan, Gita, Marsha, and Kinsley. We also praise you for the gifts of marriage and family. Bless those who are celebrating special wedding anniversaries, including Norman and Marlene Carey, and Rollin and Jerry Schnicker. We also lift before you Haley and TJ Phoenix, who were united in marriage yesterday afternoon. We ask you to be with them as they grow in love for you and for each other. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, on this Welcome Back Sunday, we thank you once again that we are able to be here together to worship you without the many restrictions that were placed upon us this past year. We also praise your name on this Confirmation Reunion Sunday and for the many souls who have been taught your word here at Trinity over the years. May they never forget those things that have shaped their faith, most especially the gospel of Jesus Christ, which offers forgiveness, life, and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord God, hear our prayers for your servants who suffer in this earthly life, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, Brian, and Jim. We lift before you Chad as he recovers from his recent surgery, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, Robert, Fran, Marvin, Harley, Amy, Beulah, Verdell, Jim, Ray, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, Diane, Brenda, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Do not let them lose heart, but fix their eyes beyond what is transient to things unseen. We also lift before you those who are mourning the passing of loved ones, especially the family and friends of Bill Evans. By this slight momentary affliction, prepare them for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, when at last you will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Lord, in your mercy. As Satan once overcame our first parents through the eating of the tree's fruit, so overcome him now among us by the fruit of your Son's cross, his body and blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Bless all who commune with repentance and faith, that in the comfort of the gospel they may be cleansed and prepared for eternal life with you. Lord, in your mercy. What was lost in paradise has been regained by the conquering wounds of your Son, crucified and raised again. In him we are restored as your children and made bold to ask for every need. Hear us for his sake and in his name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, we will now continue with our service of the sacrament, which begins in your hymnal on page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Thank you. Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in his peace.
Pretty good timing on those communion hymns. I still got it. Please stand. We sing together the Nunc Dimittis. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Oh God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. And with your spirit. bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated. The closing hymn is number 662, Onward Christian Soldiers. Good morning. We made it. We did it. It was good. So I know it's lunchtime and we're all hungry. I just have a few announcements that I want to bring to your attention. So we have our midweek Bible study going on right now. Throughout the summer, we're going to be looking at the readings that we have on Sunday mornings. We're going to be taking a closer look at those readings. Last week's session is on Facebook. It's audio only, but it covers the readings that we had in worship today. So if you want to listen to those, you can certainly do so. And if you want to join us in person for that, it'll be 9:15 on Wednesday right here in the sanctuary. We hope that you can be there. Tuesday this week is the day that our new principal, John Schaff, and his wife, Leandra, are moving down from Litchfield to Hoyleton. So we're really excited to be welcoming them to our little village. And a few of us are going up to help load their stuff and bring it back here. If there's anybody who's interested in helping to unload here at the Teacherage, Ben Bainey is the one to contact. He's up in the balcony with his trombone right now, or his phone number is there in the bulletin as well. Let him know if you'd like to come and help. Wednesday, there's going to be a meeting, an informational meeting for our youth, high school youth, especially those who are interested in attending the National Youth Gathering next summer in Houston, Texas. So we're going to get ready for that. It's just about a year away. We're also going to talk about possibly having a canoe trip this summer if there's interest. So please come on out this Wednesday, and that will be at 7 o'clock this Wednesday. So we hope that you can be there. I believe those are the announcements I wanted to highlight today. Are there any others that need to be brought forward? Okay, seeing none, let's go eat. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Blessed week.